Well, I'd like to welcome you today to Trinity Church's online service. I'm so glad that you're able to join with us. If you have a Bible with you there at home, why don't you go ahead and open it up to the book of Matthew, and today we're going to be in chapter 14. Well, as you're finding your way there, let me open by asking you a question. Have you ever faced a situation or a challenge in which, when looking at it initially, you thought, this is impossible? My guess is that many of us have faced challenges where we thought there's no way that this could happen, or again, that this is an impossible task. But I wonder, when initially kind of looking at things that way, how many of you have found that while it seemed impossible, that over time, what you thought could never happen actually happened? Right? So the impossible thing became a reality. You know, when we go through experiences like that, while hard work and determination are definitely vital to that accomplishment, for many of us, we recognize that there was something else involved. Now, some people would say it was luck. Some people would say it's fate. Some would say that the planets aligned in just the right way. But for people of faith, we understand that it was something outside of ourselves. It was something supernatural. We would say it was God. You know, those type of moments, those experiences in life where the impossible becomes a reality, where God supernaturally moves, that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, if you're joining for the first time, we're in the midst of a series in which we've entitled No Perfect People Allowed. And what we've been doing over the past few weeks is we've been really debunking this idea that God only uses perfect people. You know, sadly, for many of us, because of some sort of past event, or maybe because of what we feel is a lack of a talent in our life, we've been led to believe that God would never choose to use us. Well, that's simply not true. Matter of fact, when we look at the scriptures, what we find is that every single person that God has ever used outside of Jesus, who's God in the flesh, but every other person is an imperfect person. And that's exactly who God uses time and time again. People like you and like me. So over the course of the last few weeks, we've been looking at different individuals, and we're going to do this for a few more weeks ahead. And the hope is this, that not only will we learn from these individuals and maybe some of the things that they struggled with or they wrestled with, but ultimately will be led to the conclusion and will realize and truly embrace for ourselves that God uses imperfect people. So again, if you have your Bible, why don't you go ahead and open it up to the book of Matthew, and we're going to start in chapter 14, verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come out to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Now, maybe you're familiar with this story, but for those who aren't, let me shine a little bit of light on it so we can fully grasp what's taking place here. Now, if you were to look in Matthew 14, just prior to this event, the disciples had been with Jesus as Jesus taught a crowd of people that consisted of, it says that there was 5,000 men besides women and children. So this is thousands and thousands of people. Jesus is teaching to them, and the people become hungry because they've been there all day. So Jesus performs this miracle. He takes two small fish and five small loaves, and he multiplies them, and he feeds everyone. Well, the disciples were responsible for distributing that food. So if you've ever served in food services, you know how tiring that can be. So they've spent all day with Jesus. They've been serving this crowd of thousands and thousands of people. And then at the end of that day, Jesus tells them to go to cross the Sea of Galilee and that he'll catch up. Well, they go and they encounter a storm. Now it said this, that it was the fourth watch of the night. Listen to what the Life Application Bible Commentary on the book of Matthew states. It says, from evening until the fourth watch of the night, between 3 and 6 a.m., the disciples had been out on the sea, much of that time fighting a strong headwind and rough seas. Now, the reason that I bring that up is for you to see that the fourth watch is just before dawn. So most likely, the disciples have been up for probably somewhere around 24 plus hours. They have worked all day. Now they've struggled all night. So I think it's safe to say that they're probably exhausted. They're probably feeling overwhelmed, which those are feelings that you and I can identify with, aren't they? We know what it's like to feel exhausted or to be in a situation and feel overwhelmed. To feel like this is impossible. That's where the disciples were at. And as those feelings are kind of emerging within them, they see on the water a figure. Now it says that they, when they see it, they assume that it's a ghost. The Greek word there is an apparition. Now we might look at that and think, well, that's kind of strange. But we have to remember the context or the time in which this was written. You see, in the first century, there were these sailor stories or stories by sailors. And one of them was this, that before a sailor would die, before they would sink, they would see a spirit, an apparition on the water. So the disciples, when they see this, what they assume is that their time is up, that this is the end, right? It's impossible. That is until Jesus shows up, until Jesus changes the situation. You know, so many times when we talk about this story, what's commonly discussed or kind of comes to the forefront is what happens to Peter. Peter getting out of the boat, Peter walking on water, Peter sinking. But before this story is ever about Peter, it's first and foremost about Jesus. You see, in this story, what's taking place is Jesus is revealing himself. He's revealing his identity as God to the disciples by doing this supernatural act of walking on the water. Matthew, if you study theology, one of the things we talk about is that the book of Matthew is really written towards a Jewish audience. And that's very interesting because that means that Jesus's original audience, being Jewish, would have seen a similarity between what Jesus is doing here in Matthew's text to what God did in the book of Exodus. In Exodus chapter 33 and 34, we read the story of how God passed by Moses revealing his glory. So here we have Jesus, right, planning to pass by the disciples. He's doing the same thing. He's revealing his identity, that he is God. Now, this does two things. First and foremost, it's done for two reasons. First and foremost, so that Jesus will receive the glory, so Jesus will be honored and glorified because he is God and worthy to be honored and glorified, but also for this, because it gives the disciples hope, because it gives the audience hope. In his commentary on the book of Matthew, New Testament scholar David Turner writes, "Matthew likely intends that his readers recall the biblical text where God is the ruler of the sea, and where prayers for deliverance from trials are put in terms of storms on the sea." If you spend any time reading the Hebrew scriptures, so what we would refer to as the Old Testament, what you'll see is that there's this language of hardships being compared to trouble at sea. And what we find is in these troubles, in these hardships, the people cry out for deliverance, that God would rescue them from this trouble at sea. Which is interesting because the New Testament even picks up on this language, not only in this story here, but in Revelation chapter 21, we see this imagery of a new earth. And it says this, that there's no sea. Which some people go, well, why isn't there sea? Is there no aquatic life? That's not what it's really saying. You see, because again, the sea is where trouble happens. The sea is where hardship happens. Which is why on the new earth it says there's no sea. Meaning this, there's no hardships. There's no trouble. There's no impossible situations. In Matthew's text, the disciples are literally in trouble at sea. Right? They're caught in the storm, in a storm that only God can deliver them from. And that's exactly what Jesus does, right? So Jesus is here in the story by passing by. He's revealing that he is God. And he is the one who can deliver. Well, Peter, he's in the boat. The waves are crashing and he sees Jesus. When he hears Jesus' voice, he's putting these pieces together, really. So Peter says, all right, Jesus, call me out. Call me out to walk to you, right? Peter is looking at this impossible situation and he's saying, Jesus, make it possible. And Jesus does. Jesus does. It happens. Peter walks on water. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that first step and that second step as that distance between Peter and Jesus is getting right shorter? He's getting closer to Jesus. Can you imagine the awe of the situation? Can you imagine the look of shock on the disciples' faces as they are in the boat and they're watching Peter walk towards Jesus? You know, the reason why this was possible isn't because of Peter. It wasn't that Peter had the ability. It's that God made it possible, and Peter trusted that. Peter trusted that God could do the impossible, that he could make the impossible possible. You know, like Peter, God is calling us to trust him, to trust his word, that we can do the things that God has called us to, that we can face those impossible situations, and that by God's grace and by God's empowerment, they can become possible. You know, it's tempting. It's tempting to point out all the things that can go wrong. It's tempting to point out all the difficulties that we'll face. We can even point to maybe the lack of skills that we think are the skills we think we are lacking. Peter could have done the same. Peter could have said, you can't walk on water. But yet he did. Yet he did. He did the impossible because of Jesus. You know, that tells me, I think it tells us something, that whatever challenge we're facing, whatever hardship we're facing, whatever situation, and we go, this isn't possible, with Jesus, it is. Listen to what the Life Application Bible Commentary for the book of Matthew continues When you are apprehensive about the troubles around you and doubt Christ's presence or ability to help, remember that he is the only one who can really help. You know, the point of this story of Peter's experience is so we will understand this, that God makes the impossible possible. If you were to only hear really maybe one thing in this lesson, I would hope that that is what you would take away. Maybe it might even be helpful to maybe write that down and stick it somewhere in your home, you know, in your bedroom, in your car, on your refrigerator, somewhere where you can see it daily. This thing, this little message that just says, God makes the impossible possible. Now, I know someone could say, yeah, but Peter almost drowned, which, yes, he did almost drown. That is true. But let's remember why. Right? Peter is walking towards Jesus. That distance, that gap is getting shorter. But then what does he do? He takes his eyes off Jesus. He begins to look at the problems. He begins to look at all the things that could go wrong. And he forgets to keep his eyes on Jesus. So he begins to sink. On our own, the impossible, it's impossible, right? On our own, we can't do it. But by God's empowerment, by God's grace, supernatural things take place. By God's grace, we can do the things that we can't do on our own. I wonder, what challenges are you facing in life right now? What hardships are you facing? What situations are going on that you're looking at and you're going, this seems impossible. I don't know how I'm gonna make it through or how I'm gonna make this thing work. Now, take a moment and think about that situation. And let me ask you another question in regards to that. Are you trusting God to see you through? See, because I think those are two very different things, right? One identifies, this is the hardship. This is the situation I'm going through. But then there's this important question we have to ask of, have we invited God into this? Are we believing and trusting God to be with us, to see us through, to make the impossible possible, to walk on water? Because, you know, if you're like me, then maybe you have a tendency to trust your own strengths and trust your own resources. And I think that the story is it's calling us not to focus on what all could go wrong, not to trust in ourselves, but to trust Jesus and to trust that Jesus is with us. I mean, think about Peter. As Peter begins to sink, he cries out. And what happens? Jesus grabs a hold of him, right? Jesus doesn't let Peter drown. Jesus doesn't go, it's kind of what you deserve, or you need to learn a lesson here. No. Jesus graciously pulls Peter back up, and he gets him in the boat. Now, I would hope this. I would hope that as we're sharing, that you wouldn't feel this, that I'm making light of maybe a situation that you're going through, because please hear me. By no means am I doing that. I understand that we are all at different places in life and we are all facing different challenges. So by no means am I making light of what you're going through. I understand hardships and I understand pain. And I'm not saying this either. I'm not saying just whip a Bible verse at it and it's going to make everything magically all right, because I don't believe that that's what happens. Not making light, not dismissing. What I'm doing, and my hope and my prayer is that what you'll hear is an encouragement that God loves you, that God loves you, that God is in the midst of the storm with you, and that God wants you to trust him. God wants you to lean on him. God wants you to look at him, to look at Jesus. And know that by God's grace, through the empowerment of Jesus, the impossible can become possible. That like Peter, we can figuratively walk on water. You know, the Nobel Prize in Literature, in I think it was 2016, was awarded to the singer Bob Dylan. As I was thinking about this situation with Peter and the storm, his song, Hard Rains Are Gonna Fall, popped in my mind. And again, he has that line in that song, and a hard rains are gonna fall. In life, we will face storms. In life, we will face hardships. In life, there will be rain. But Jesus is there with us. Jesus is there helping us, leading us, seeing us through to the other end. And that's when we get to that place of where the hardship has ceased, where the impossible has become a reality. And we realize that we weren't the only one, that something supernatural took place. And that is, Jesus was involved. You know, the story of Peter walking on water and sinking, God didn't give us that so that way we could laugh or mock or think less of Peter. It's not there, and it's not reversed. It's not so we will think more of Peter. God gave us this as an example for us to see how God is involved in the storms of our life and how God shows up and how he does supernatural things, making the impossible possible. So my prayer for you is that you will look to Jesus, that you will look to Jesus, and that God will empower you to go through the storm, to make it through the storm, and that by God's grace, what was once impossible will become possible for you. Let me pray for you today. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, God, so much for your love and your grace. Lord, we thank you for this story that we see of how Jesus showed up in the midst of the storm that the disciples were in, and how through Jesus, the impossible became possible. How Peter walked on water, how Peter was rescued, how the storm ceased when Jesus and Peter got back into the boat. Father, I pray for everyone who's listening today, recognizing that we're all in different places and that there are some people who are in the midst of a storm. They're facing a hardship. They're going through a trial. They're in a situation where it looks impossible. Father, will you please meet them in that place? And Lord, as they trust in Jesus, as their eyes are on Jesus, God, will you please move and make what was once impossible possible? Lord, see us through our hardships. And Lord, and help us by your Spirit to always give you the glory and the honor for the amazing things that you do in our lives. Lord, I pray that if there's anyone listening today that does not know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that Father, that you would open their heart to the gospel. Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them. And I pray, Lord, that they would come to know Jesus as their Savior. And Lord, that they would know the hope of the promise of eternity with you. God, continue to lead us. Help us, Lord, to reveal your love and grace to all those that we encounter. In Jesus, we pray this all in your holy name. Amen.